G'day you mob, Pete here, and this is another episode of Aussie English, the number one place for anyone and everyone wanting to learn Australian English. So today I have a Goss episode for you where I sit down with my old man, my father, Ian Smithson, and we talk about the week's news, whether locally down under here in Australia or non-locally overseas in other parts of the world, okay? And we sometimes also talk about whatever comes to mind, right? If we can think of something interesting to share with you guys related to us or Australia, we also talk about that in the Goss. So these episodes are specifically designed to try and give you content about many different topics where we're obviously speaking in English and there are multiple people having a natural and spontaneous conversation in English. So it is particularly good to improve your listening skills. In order to complement that, though, I really recommend that you join the podcast membership or the academy membership at aussieenglish.com.au, where you will get access to the full transcripts of these episodes, the PDFs, the downloads, and you can also use the online PDF reader to read and listen at the same time. Okay, so if you really, really want to improve your listening skills fast, get the transcript, listen and read at the same time, keep practicing, and that is the quickest way to level up your English. Anyway, I've been rabbiting on a bit. I've been talking a bit. Let's just get into this episode, guys. Smack the bird, and let's get into it. How good's the Australian education system, Dad?
It's pretty good. It would be a lot better if more was spent on public education, though.
All right. So, let us have it. Tell us about the story. And
Well, it wasn't so much a story as an opinion piece that came out in the paper today in The Guardian. So, yep. I'll give due course to Adam Roris, the
author,
the journalist who wrote this.
I don't even think he's a journo, right? I read the whole thing and he's doing some report or something.
Yeah,
I think
it's a an op-ed piece. So,
yep.
He's not an employee of The Guardian.
Yeah.
He's just talking about, well, firstly, I'll read the headline.
Go for it.
The Australian, quote, school funding wars, unquote, may be over, but kids at public schools are still losing out. And he put the school funding wars in quotation marks because this was a comment by the Alan Tudge, the Minister for Education, who made one of his first statements about school funding wars now being over. Which just means they're not going to give any more money and that's the end of it. So stop whining. The war isn't over. It's just they've declared peace and left.
But what was the war?
Well, there's been a battle for the last 10 years, since the delightfully named Gonski report.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Gonski.
Mr. Gonski. Came out in 2011 with a whole series of recommendations on school funding across Australia to increase the overall level of education and education opportunities as much in underfunded schools. And they came up with I've got to read the official wording here. They came up with what they called a schooling resource standard, which the government at the time approved, but then lost the next election.
So what was
and
it?
Ever
it was-
since we've had a Liberal government, Liberal national government, and they have done everything they possibly can to avoid. And the Gonski report was agreed to by the previous government in terms of those recommendations. And this sort of school resource standard was, they said, the minimum amount of funding required for schools to be able to provide the level of education that they think is, the minimum level.
Yeah.
The government at the time agreed to it, and then the next government that came in treated it, without ever even saying it, they basically treated that level of funding as, well, this is aspirational. This is what we think schools would like to be able to have. And
we'll
it was never intended
to
do
to
that.
Yeah.
And so, they've dropped that number to 95% of what that number was. And less than 50% of schools in the country are getting 95% of what 10 years ago was recommended. That's not to allow for inflation that's happened over that 10-year period. And so, this government just keeps avoiding the issue. At the same time, they have continued to increase funding to private schools.
Do you want to dive into that a little bit?
The differentiation between public and private school.
Explain the difference between the two, but also explain why private schools end up getting disproportionate amounts of funding from the government compared to public schools.
I honestly can't explain that. I can describe it.
Well, that it's just been happening for a long time.
The irony is the distinction in Australian education system. We're talking about school education from, you know, 5-year-olds to 18-year-olds, not universities. The distinction between private and public is that public schools are entirely government funded, and so students who are going there pay no fees. They might pay a yearly fee to cover materials and those sort of things, but they are not paying for the upkeep of the school, the salaries of the teachers, or any of those sort of things. Private schools, on the other hand, you pay fees to send your children to a private school, but they also get government funding. And they get a disproportionate amount of government funding on a per capita basis, given that they are also charging students fees that are ideally paying for the upkeep of the school and the salaries of the staff.
I think the numbers were something like $27 billion public schools have been underfunded over the last 4 years.
Yes.
So, there's been a $27 billion difference in the amount of money received from the government, which equates to $10,000 per student.
I know. And so, what we end up with is this complete differentiation of sectors where we have a private sector, and you need to be reasonably wealthy to send your children to, you know, private schools these days. And, you know, we're in a bizarre situation in our family where you went to a private school and your sister went to a public school, and it was by choice in both cases. Now, we're in a position where we could have afforded to send you both, but you know, your sister decided she didn't want to go there. She wanted to go to a public school.
And she actually ended up crushing it in comparison to me at school with marks.
Her results were better. So
she was a nerd. I was much more worried about playing sports and chasing girls. So.
Yeah, well, she wasn't chasing girls. She was at an all-girls school, so it would have been an appropriate thing to do.
But she would have had an easier time of it.
Yeah, exactly. They would have been there, just there. So we spend, you know, more than $100,000 for you to go to a private school.
And you got
for 6 years. All out. And we probably spent $2,000 to send your sister to a public school for 6 years.
So you spent $50,000 on each child.
We did, yeah.
Annika definitely got her money's worth.
She did.
That was the best return on investment.
She did well with her $2,000. Yeah. And so therein lies, but the government at the same time was probably giving the same amount of money to the school that we were sending you to as they were to the school they were sending her to.
Okay.
And that is the anomaly.
Despite the school I was going to being private and making a shit ton more money out of enrollment fees.
Yeah, exactly.
But also probably having to spend a lot of that money on everything at the school, like buildings and look,
there's
like
no
that.
Question about, you know, facilities. You know, well, you've got an indoor swimming pool. You've got two sports ovals at two different campuses in the school. You had a junior school and a senior school. Both had two the cricket ground, football ground at the senior school is international class cricket ground. Yeah. It doesn't have stands and things, but the quality of the surface, I mean, you weren't allowed to play on it. At the beginning of the end of the, you know, during the middle of winter you could because of the football season, but during the cricket season, the beginning of the end of the year, you couldn't even play on it. The school was very well set up in terms of facilities. I can't comment on the quality of teaching. Because it was the only experience you had.
Yeah.
But I don't believe it was any better than what your sister got.
I think it's one of those things where the only thing that I can imagine that is potentially different is that the school has to try and maintain its high marks for the students.
They do that artificially.
Well, they can. I can't speak for your school. Students to leave.
That's right. School, yeah, you know, students will not be progressed through the school if they are not meeting academic standards.
But
so,
I think because of that, they had that sort of need to make sure that you were getting, you know, the education as best you could.
Yeah.
But
the education is all about getting the scores in the exams or in the assessment. It's not about the quality of education as such in terms of a holistic view of your education. So.
Yeah, well, it was definitely an interesting. I liked going there. I like the fact that they pushed sports so hard as well, because we had to compete in that and you had to do sports. I mean, I think at the time I was always like, oh God, I got to go to training again in the morning or in the afternoon. I just want to go home and play with my mates, or I have to get up at 6 a.m. on the weekend and go and play soccer at some, you know, even richer school in Melbourne that's like, you know, 2 hours each way, and I really just can't be bothered. But it was a sort of nice experience. You know, we had laptops. We got to go on school trips that you paid for to places like France. You know, that now looks just seems ridiculous. I remember at the time taking it for granted and thinking, yeah, I could send my kids to this sort of thing. But you think about it now and I'm like, no way. You were going to the local public school.
There's no way.
And, I want a new car.
And there, and I think then it becomes, because those schools are dealing with the wealthy, there is an expectation of a lifestyle at the school that will meet that standard.
Yeah.
And so, and I mean, yes, you went to France for 3 weeks. I could have taken all of us to France for 3 weeks for the same amount of money that we spent on a school-sponsored thing for you.
Yeah.
When half your accommodation was, yeah, you were actually being billeted out with locals.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was free. And you sit there and go, well, why are we paying that amount of money? When I could have sent four of us for the same, for airfares for the same amount of money. But, yeah, but I think it's the experience is, you know, when you've got people who have got that sort of money, then there's an expectation that the school will continue to provide that sort of lifestyle for their students.
It was definitely different from the local high school that I grew up next to when I was a primary school student, which is part of the reason you sent me to Geelong College, because the school that was local was not ideal, at least at the time. No. Like, I remember people getting stabbed with pens, getting in fights, knocking kids out.
Even because you went to the primary school next door, you and your friends used to even refer to the school as the ghetto.
Yeah.
And when the local primary school kids are referring to their high school as the ghetto, then, you know, that's now the school has since been rebuilt and, you know, and I'm sure it's much better now. But it's at the time, it was, you know, the only sensible decision that we made.
Well, and it was hard because you couldn't send me to another public school, right? Because you would, it was out of the zone.
It was out of,
so you'd take a ballot or something. We had the zoning system,
and there was a ballot, and there was a 30% chance that you would have got into that school.
Yeah.
And if we didn't-
And the other options were more expensive private school or an all-boys Catholic school, effectively, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What was I going to say?
I'm not a big fan of all-boys schools.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's it. I don't think I would have gotten the marks that I got if I'd been in an all-boys
school. I am a big fan of all-girls schools, funnily enough. But, yeah, my theory on co-education is send your sons to school with other people's daughters, but send your daughters to a girl-girl school.
If you want them to do optimally good at
It's not about what they do. It's more, I think, the educational experience that girls get is better in all-girls schools. The educational experience that boys get is better in a co-ed school.
Do you think that all boys and all-girls schools affect social experiences as well? Because I felt like going to a co-ed school with both girls and guys and just being around women, well, girls, the whole time, you just got to know them. You got to become really good friends with them. Mm-hmm. You got to have relationships with them. You know, you were just constantly around women. So, from the age of, you know, well, like out of primary school, from you never stopped effectively. You never separated, especially during your puberty. Whereas, I felt like, you know, the local all-girls school across the road, there were always stories of year 12 students getting pregnant and with some of the boys from the all-boys school and those sorts of things. Then that just never happened at the co-ed school. I mean, that's a sample size of one.
Yes.
I'm sure that happens everywhere. But there was always that sort of, I guess, stereotype that both the all-boys school and the all-girls school, they kind of didn't really develop or just get, you know, interpersonal relationships with the opposite sex the same way.
With zero sample size and no scientific study on this at all, I suspect that that is much more the case with boys, that boys in an all-boys environment are just going to be, I hesitate to say socially stunted, but are going to be-
The worst is going to be brought out.
The worst is going to be brought out.
And in the absence of, you know, the kind female touch that would have kept them in place.
Yeah, but I actually don't even think that the girls make boys behave better. They just dilute the idiot factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got a school of, you know, 1,000 students, and there are 1,000 boys there as opposed to 500 boys and 500 girls. You've got 500 more idiots. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, most teenage boys are idiots.
Well, not all of them.
Most, yeah. I said. No, you were the exception.
Yeah, you said 500 other idiots.
Yeah, well.
Be kind.
So, all right, yeah, 400 plus. It's a funny one because I think girls, on the other hand, because, you know, girls, women in particular, just tend to be more social anyway, that they are going to develop socially without the influence of having boys around them all the time, whereas I don't think that's necessarily the case. And frankly, I think there is an element, a social element in school that is extremely important, but it's not the primary one. And I think the opportunities that girls miss out on by competing with idiot boys, particularly in those middle years of high school, the sort of 14, 15-year-olds, you know, year 8, year 9, year 10, in school, is such a detriment to their education that if you can avoid that, all the better. Ideally, I think it would be great if you could have single-sex schools for that 14, 15-year-olds.
And then just let them come back together for the
and
end.
And let them come back for the last 2 or 3 years of school.
Well, it'd be interesting if you could somehow get a study that would look at that across, you know, multiple different probably public schools.
Yeah, well, yeah.
enrolled in that.
Yeah. Ironically, there are many more private schools that are single-sex schools than there are public. But I don't think the education should be the same. And this is a different story about, you know, single-sex or co-ed.
Because the problem ends up becoming complexity then, right? And being able to actually
maintain that whole idea of, 14 and 15-year-olds are just messed up anyway. Treating a 14-year-old boy exactly the same as you were treating them when they were 11 at primary school and exactly the same way as you're treating them when they're 18 at the end of their schooling is just bizarre.
The
fact that you sit down in, you know, 6 different classes a day for between 45 and 50 minutes a day in each one, and you get 25 kids in the class and you have a teacher that's doing it, and you do that exactly the same for 13 years of schooling.
Oh, well, at the end, we had a few spares, right?
Yeah,
we had periods where we didn't have to actually
study. Time off without supervision.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the only difference. But the structure of the school is exactly the same for an 11-year-old, a 15-year-old, and an 18-year-old, and that is just bizarre. We should be doing things differently to enable people to grow and learn in different environments and different ways as they are maturing. Now, the challenge is that there are going to be some 13-year-old boys who are as mature as a 17-year-old and some 17-year-old who are still 11 years old socially. But no fingers pointing anywhere. But
I just raised my hand for those listening.
But it's going to be a better situation if you're trying to account for the sort of general differences that you're going to get from sort of social, physical, emotional growth in learning along the way. But our schools are not set up to do that.
One thing, I guess, private school-wise that I do remember as being a benefit was that there was never any violence. Like, it was just...
Yeah.
I think I saw one fight in 6 years, and those kids were probably expelled.
Yes.
Because they just effectively had a zero tolerance.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, on the flip side of that, they were massively strict in terms of your uniform that you had to wear... Mm. Being able to leave the campus at what time, you know, you had to be at class at a certain time. You couldn't have certain hairstyles. You couldn't have any kind of jewelry, you know. So, they would just control every single aspect like that, which to some degree makes it easier, I think, because everyone's the same.
Yes.
There's no some, you know, rich kid showing up with Gucci and Armani and everything like that, making the rest of the other normal kids look like idiots or feel bad or anything like that. Kind of everyone gets squashed, but at the same time, there's like zero ability to really be yourself at school, at least, really. Like, you know, you would walk around at lunchtime and have your shirt untucked and they'd give you detention.
Yeah.
And you'd just be like, or take your tie off.
Yes.
You know, and you'd have to be, I think you would have to be running. If you were doing some kind of sport, like playing soccer at lunchtime, you can have the argument of, oh, I've got my tie off so I can breathe.
Yeah.
But other than that, they would always say, you know, button up your shirt and have your tie right up and pull your socks up and everything. Yeah. You'd just be like,
Jesus. And I think there's a legitimate reason for having those sort of rules in schools. And I think as a sort of subsection of society, with a bunch of teenagers. It's not bad having a set of rules. I do question, however, that the things that they make the rules about,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, you have to wear your blazer and your tie to and from school.
Yeah.
Until you get home, you're not allowed to take your blazer off. You know,
it's 40 degrees. It's summer.
Why? Yeah. It's ridiculous. Why am I wearing a blazer at all? It's 40 degrees.
Well, that's what Kel made fun of me when she saw it.
It's about school identity.
Yeah. But she was always like,
it's a marketing exercise.
Why isn't it some sort of piece of clothing that people actually wear? The only people I know that win that have a blazer are the people who win, you know, golf tournaments.
Yes.
Or say the is it the cricketers, right? Yes. Where they end up with these green blazers and you're kind of like, you never wear this. It's so impractical.
Yeah.
The same with like the high ass socks that you have to wear all the way up to your knees.
I know.
Who wears these? Grandpa wears these. No one else wears these.
Yes. And it's funny because they really are a 19th century view of the universe that has been translated into the 21st century.
But it's most almost dress ups, right?
Most of it's about branding.
Yeah.
It's about, yeah, you're representing the school. And the challenge is that the branding is reinforcing exactly that thing of send your child here because they'll be forced to wear a uniform and behave themselves. Mm-hmm. And those two things are not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Like, I can't speak for any other, you know, friends of yours, but I don't believe that your non-private school friends were any
rowdier,
worse behaved than your private school friends.
Probably not.
As teenagers.
I think we all went through the same angsty years of misbehavior.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, that being strict at school does not translate to your normal behavior. And look, no, nor should it.
Well, you'd be surprised if it did, right? I know. They would really be beating the crap out of you.
Yeah. But, you know, if you were a live-in boarder at the school.
Well, then you don't have a social life, right?
Exactly.
And that was sort of the other aspect of being at a private school. There was the boarders who were like, ooh, okay, they're paying twice as much as we are to be here, if
they
not
get
more.
To live here.
Yeah, they live in this Harry Potter kind of world. And I was at private school as Harry Potter was coming out.
Yeah.
I think I was a year or two ahead.
You grew up with Harry Potter.
Yeah, and the senior school was so sort of reminiscent of a lot of the Harry Potter scenery with cloisters, you know, and some of these, just the architecture of these buildings and everything and vines everywhere. And so, yeah, I don't know. It was just really funny. And I remember once you finished school, you know, you would walk around in your blazer and think you were so good. You know, you'd be like, yeah, that's right, I'm at Geelong College. But nowadays, I drive around and if I see any of them, I'm just like, ah, you wankers. Like, ah, you're not better than anyone. Shut up.
yeah. Well, you know, so be it.
Yeah. Anyway, so would you do it again?
As in send you to a private school.
Yeah. Or this episode, you know. send me.
rewind and start again.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Look, in the end, the decision for us was not about, you know, whether we preferred private or public schools. It was just the public school that was available was not suitable. And the only alternative, if in your case, was to send you to a private school.
Yeah.
I personally have a philosophical opposition to private schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, disclaimer, I used to be a public school teacher. I went to public schools and I was a teacher in public schools. But
you were made to eat your hat.
I was indeed, yeah. Not eat my words. I still stand by those. But in the end, it was the best decision for you at the time.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't go back on that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have sent you to the ghetto.
Thank God.
Getting stabbed.
I would have, that would have been like getting an education on the streets.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'd have been street smart at a younger age.
Man, imagine how that's like sliding doors, right? You can't imagine how those two peats would have ended up.
Where would you be? I would not
be doing Aussie English.
No. I doubt whether you'd have spent 12 years at university with 3 degrees.
No. Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us. Don't forget, if you want to get the transcripts for these episodes, become a premium podcast member or academy member, and for anything else, go to aussieenglish.com.au. Bye.
See ya.
Alrighty, you mob. Thank you so much for listening to or watching this episode of The Goss. If you would like to watch the video, if you're currently listening to it and not watching it, you can do so on the Aussie English channel on YouTube. You'll be able to subscribe to that. Just search Aussie English on YouTube. And if you're watching this and not listening to it, you can check this episode out also on the Aussie English podcast, which you can find via my free Aussie English podcast application on both Android and iPhone. You can download that for free, or you can find it via any other good podcast app that you've got on your phone, Spotify, podcasts from iTunes, Stitcher, whatever it is. I'm your host, Pete. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you have a ripper of a day, and I will see you next time. Peace.